Sam, come on, oh, baby, oh, let's play that hard rule of rock show. Come on, oh, how you feel? Now in my same form as never, things round and change. I said to you, there you have it. Come on, Eileen, by the Dixies Midnight Runners. That goes back a few years, but that's her opening song today. Welcome to Listening Lyrics right here on KDRT 95.7, right here in Davis, California. You know, we're almost downtown Davis, California. It is, what day is it today? The 29th of November in 2024. As you know, usually I have a musical guest on the show, and I didn't have anything picked for today, but here I am in the studio, because yesterday I was walking through Farmer's Market right here in Davis, and there was a group of young people there with the Acme Theater group right here in Davis, and they were so enthusiastic. There was at least four or five gals and a guy, and they were all saying, you know, come on over, let me tell you a little bit about it. And I walked over, listened to what they're doing, and I mentioned to Nico, who's my guest today, that, you know, why don't we just take you on the radio and tell the whole Davis group and everyone else in the world, because we're broadcasting live around the world, about the Acme Theater. So Nico Novick is my guest for the day. Welcome, Nico.
Hi. I'm so grateful to be here.
Well, I'm thrilled you're here, because it's such a wonderful group of people that stopped me. Tell me, first of all, let's just start at the beginning. Acme Theater is what?
Acme Theater is the oldest theater company in Davis.
Right.
It was founded by Dave Burmester about 45 years ago. And what's cool about it is that it's completely youth-run. So we have our adult director, Emily Henderson, but everything else in the company is handled by people in 9th through 12th grade.
Okay.
So typically, right, like in big theater, you would see adults handling building the sets and the props and the program. For us, that's all kids 9th through 12th grade in our company.
Wow. Okay. So how many are involved?
It's hard to say. It really depends. On our youth council alone, we have 11 people.
Okay.
And then throughout the company, I would say probably around 20 to 30.
What does youth council mean?
So we have a youth board. It's called ACE, or the Acme Council of Executives.
Okay.
And it's made up of the leaders of each position in the company. For example, the leader of our props team, who's in...
And there's 11 things in a company?
Oh, there's more than 11. We're actually adding a 12th position later this year, but you didn't hear that from me because it's not confirmed yet.
So tell me some, what are the major ones?
Well,
props, I'm sure, is one, and the actors are one.
Mm-hmm. So there's props,
right?
There's set, there's front of house, who's in charge of if you've ever like bought a ticket or gotten a program, ushers, there's web, there's publicity, there's education, there is lights, so making all of the spotlights go. Their sound, they're in charge of everything related to the soundscape of the show.
Right.
There's costumes, and that also includes like makeup and hair. There's props, there's set. I might have said this already.
Yeah.
And then we also have our member at large, who's in charge of like connecting us with the community. And we also have our stage manager, who's in charge of basically being the go-between between the actors and the council.
Okay.
Yeah.
And who is directing all of these?
Our artistic director, her name is Emily Henderson. She's absolutely incredible. She was one of the original.
She's the one that keeps you all focused in one direction.
Yeah.
So this year, or coming up anyway, how many plays do you do a year?
We do 3 main stage plays a year.
Right.
And then we're instituting 2 staged readings, which rather than being like a full play, it's just an acted out version of the script to get a sense of what the play could look like.
And the next one is going to be coming up very soon, The Curious Incident of a Dog in the Night Time.
Yeah, it is.
Which is an odd title, but it became quite a book. And you guys are performing it. Where is the performance?
The performance is at the Veterans Memorial Theater right next to the high school.
Okay, so that can hold quite a few people.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, what are they doing to that anyway? I ride my bike past there and they're rebuilding it.
I'm not entirely sure.
Okay.
I think they had like a structural issue and they're just making it safer, but the theater's fine and it's completely accessible still.
Okay. Yeah, and I heard they were going to add more handicap seating. So maybe that's in the works. How in the world do you pick what you're going to do next?
It's a long, complicated process.
Right.
And we can thank our artistic director, Emily. She basically finds every single script in the entire world. And she's like, I like these ones. And then she cuts them down. And then everyone in the company gets a vote on, we have a day where we read all the scripts or we at least take a look at them. And then she's like, I propose these ones, and everyone gets a vote. And although she does make the final decision, it's kind of a company-wide process.
Okay. And, I'm just shooting these questions out at you before we get to more personal things here in terms of how you not only do what you do, but how it helps you grow as a person. But so with The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, when is that starting again? January?
January 3rd through January 12th.
So that's in 4 weeks or so, 5 weeks.
Yeah, about a month.
How many times do you practice this?
We typically have rehearsal every weekday of the week after school. And
every day?
Yeah, and then sometimes weekends, but not always.
Holy cow. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. And how soon before the actual play do you actually have a dress rehearsals?
It's typically the week before opening, but we move into theater like 2-1.5 weeks before.
Okay. We're talking with Niko Novik. I'm pronouncing that right, right?
Yes.
She's with the Acme Theater right here in Davis. She's telling us all about it. She did come in with her own playlist, and we're almost a quarter of the way through the show already, so we're going to play another song, and then we're going to talk a little bit more about this curious incident of the dog in the nighttime. The next song is Anything by Mads Buckley. Why did you pick that one?
Mads Buckley is one of my favorite artists, and I really like the imagery in the song, and it just makes me happy and want to dance.
Alrighty, let's take a listen to it.
On a bottle of your name, just to get another taste of you. A single drop, not on my tongue. Shore, no stretch of miles would ever mean. I'd let it wash off any kiss you stole. So they'll keep us dry as I walk you home. We burn like gentle firewood. We yearn like vines and leaves. And we settle in the comfort of the bones that rest beneath. And I'd lose every penny that I find to keep your soul with mine.
Well, would you like to let people know what we just listened to?
Yeah, we just listened to Anything, Anything, Anything by Mads Buckley.
And what does Anything, Anything, Anything really... you said you liked the imagery in it, but what is the song in a nutshell about?
It's about somebody who finds something really special to them, whether that's like a romantic or a platonic partner, and is describing the ways in which their life has irrevocably changed since they met the person and the things they'd be willing to do to see that love for the other person blossom.
Okay. Okay. We're talking here with Nico Novick from the Acme Theater Company right here in Davis. She's telling us all about how Acme works and how it's put together. And they're in the process of getting ready to put on a play called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime. And that's a book by Mark Haddon. And there's a lot of symbolism in that book.
Mm-hmm.
So when you decide, or when the group decides you're going to do this play, I guess everybody has sort of said, why don't we read this? So you've read the book.
Yes, I've read it 4 times.
Oh, okay. Is this book some – is this like required reading in high school, or is just a book that is out there?
I think it used to be on the standard curriculum, but it's not required, and a lot of high schools choose other books over
okay.
this one.
Okay. Yeah. Do you know I don't even recall what time period this was written.
So it was written in the early 2000s, but it was set in 1998. So
okay.
it's like kind of in a transition phase.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay. Well, there's so much imagery in this. Let's just start with Wellington. Wellington is the dog, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So if you haven't read the book or haven't read the script, the plot of the story follows Christopher Boone, who is a 15-year-old autistic kid. And he discovers that his neighbor's dog has been killed. And through that, he basically takes it on himself to find out who killed this dog, get the dog justice. But it ends up being this entire journey where he discovers things about himself
okay.
and his family. And the dog, Wellington, that's the first thing you see in both the book and the play. This imagery of a dead dog. Well, in our show, there's not actually a dead dog. It's a light. But It kind of represents this starting event, like the inciting incident of the play, but it also represents, in a way, everything Christopher knew about his life and his community being stuck through the heart with a garden fork, because that's how the dog gets killed, and it sets off his journey of self-actualization.
Whoa. And there's more symbolism than just this, isn't there?
Yeah.
How can prime numbers be a symbolism?
So in the book,
right.
every single chapter, instead of like 1, 2, 3, like we're accustomed to, they start with a prime number. And this is because Christopher adores math, and it's a technique that he uses to calm himself. So throughout the play, when he's overwhelmed, he'll count in prime numbers or he'll count in cardinal numbers. And it's a representation of how he views the world, but it's also a tool of how he finds himself within the chaos that is the universe.
So I'm getting a feeling now that maybe Christopher is a bit on the autistic side.
Yes, he is autistic.
Okay.
And I'm also autistic, and I play Christopher in the play. And
okay.
that's a super cool experience because I get to learn about myself and my community through him.
So I haven't read the book yet, but my wife is an avid reader, right? And she's reading this book about a young man who has autism, and he focuses on certain things in life. And when he was an early teen, he focused on the Russian language. and to such a point where he learned how to read it and speak it. Now, that's a whole different alphabet. You know, it's wild, really, the story. It's a true story. And then he and his father decide, let's go to a culture where this language is spoken and you can read, right? So they pick one of those satellite countries that the Soviet Union used to have somewhere in Eastern Europe, and they go there. And all of a sudden, the father realizes that his autistic son is thriving in this environment, and he's the one who can't communicate. He can't read. He can't talk to people, you know, and everything was reversed. Who knows? Maybe a generation from now, that will be an Acme Theater play. What do you think?
I think it's a cool story. I think, like, in terms of the way that we run our season, we want to get a diverse range of stories.
Right.
And Christopher is one specific look at what autism can present like. But it's a spectrum, and everyone experiences it differently. And so I think, especially if we were to do more plays focusing on the neurodivergent community, we'd want a wider right. spectrum of what that experience could look like.
Right. So in your – do you mind if I just dig a little into your life now?
No, not at all.
Okay. So you mentioned you are on the autistic spectrum. How would your life have been different three generations ago?
So I actually just did a research presentation on this.
Okay.
There is a lot of stigma around autism for a lot of different reasons. A lot of our modern perception actually came from knowledge that was gathered during the Holocaust through a very disgusting evil man named Hans Asperger's,
okay.
which is where the term, if you've heard of it, Asperger's comes from. And there are so many misconceptions, from people thinking it was a form of psychosis to the original belief that it was an offset of schizophrenia. There are so many ways in which autistic children were demonized. And for a long time, the people who had the availability to get an autism diagnosis were white men who were upper middle class.
Right.
And so three generations ago, I very highly doubt that, number one, I would have the resources to be able to get a diagnosis, because
right.
a lot of the information we know about autism is from a modern standpoint and from the perspective of autistic people.
Right.
And also, back then, the perception of mental health and disability in general was so skewed towards this need for a cure and a fixing that it created this dangerous narrative that anyone with any sort of disability, whether it's autism or a physical disability or something else entirely, needed to be cured or saved.
Right.
And although that's still very prevalent, when we look at it, it's somewhat where we get to reclaim our autonomy as disabled people and move towards a narrative of we're not broken, we
right.
just operate differently in society.
Like left-handed people.
Yeah.
I remember years ago, not even that long ago, if you were using your left hand, the teacher would whack you. You'd
yeah.
have to use the right hand.
That's
Are you left-handed?
Ridiculous. I'm not. I'm right-handed.
Neither am I. But I'll tell you, I had a severe, probably still do, a severe case of ADHD, right? I couldn't study. I couldn't even get to the second level in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And all the teachers said that this is all they said. So this is the 60s now.
Mm-hmm.
All they said was he can do better. That was the answer to having people that couldn't study.
Just do better.
Just do better. You
wow.
can do better. I know Peter can do better.
I'm so
you
sorry
know?
That happened to you. That's
well,
disgusting.
No. I'm just, you know, I ended up being a pretty good guy, so maybe it worked. I don't
oh,
know.
Gosh, yeah.
You know, so, but no, it's interesting, and I certainly didn't think this conversation would go down this way, but let's get back to the play.
Yeah.
The yellow car, you mentioned you're going to talk about a red car instead.
Yes.
Okay.
So in the book, Christopher has a way of categorizing how his day will go. If he sees a certain number of red cars or a certain number of yellow cars, it's a good or a bad day.
Right.
In the play, so the play was adapted for a British audience and then again adapted for an American audience by Simon Steffens. And so one thing, if you've ever tried to translate a book into a play, a lot of things change.
Right.
And part of that was the imagery surrounding cars. So it's very much still an important part of the play, but it's less so than it was in the book. But that car symbolism kind of also represents Christopher's need for stability and order, and he categorizes things that way.
Will this, if I didn't know anything about this book, but I went to the play, would that become obvious to me, all these symbols? Or is it like a song? A lot of songs have symbols in them, but you don't get them.
It depends how much you're looking for them.
Okay.
I think we make them very clear.
Okay.
But that also, like, to me, they're very clear. And
right.
I have a biased perception because I've read the book so many times.
Right, right.
And, you know, like, the script is 75 pages long. And within it, like, almost every page has something to do with some sort of symbolism or narrative jump into the book or the world of disability justice. So I think... It depends. It depends how hard you're looking.
Yeah. Okay. And how much you pay attention.
Yes.
Right? So we're going to play another song here, one of your picks. But before we do that, I'm going to turn it over to you now. You're going to introduce yourself. You're going to just a brief, short, very, because we've already talked about what ACME is, but in case people tuned in a little late, mm-hmm. and tell them where they can go, how they can get tickets, what all of that is. So do you have a website? All of that. Spill all of that out. Let's go.
Okay.
You're on.
Hi, I'm Nico Novick. I'm 17. I'm from ACME Theater Company, and I run our web publicity and education department. And this January, we are putting on a production of The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is based off the book by Mark Haddon and adapted by Simon Steffens. It runs from January 3rd to January 12th, so the first two weekends. And if you're interested in buying tickets, you can purchase them at acmetheater.net or acmetheatre.net.
Theater is T-E-R or T-R-E?
T-R-E.
T-R-E.
T-H-E-T-R-E.
R-E, okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. .net.
.net, yes.
Okay. And the tickets are basically whatever you can afford or donate, correct? And suggestion would be around?
Yeah, so all our tickets are pay what you can pay to make them as accessible as possible. And we have suggested donation of $15 for students and seniors and $20 for general admission.
Okay. All righty. Can we just get – oh, I'm going to ask you this after the song. Tell me about Soldier Poet King.
This is another song that I picked just because I like the vibes and I like the imagery. It has a lot of – you'll see when you listen to it. It's just a very poetic song.
Here we go.
Slay you with his tongue, oh, lay your
City of Davis Bike and Pedestrian Program. The City of Davis Bike and Pedestrian Program offers a range of resources for cycling and walking, including a detailed Davis bike map, a Davis historic tour guide, and Cycling Savvy, an online bike education class. For more information, visit cityofdavis.org/residents and click on Bike and Pedestrian Program.
Well, that was quite something. We had a guest drop in from a little island on the other side of the Atlantic.
That's why they're not having me do a British accent for the show, because I'm very bad at it.
Good Lord. I have heard English actors do American accents, and sometimes you can't tell. Mm-hmm. Did you practice doing that?
In a way, I guess.
Okay.
No, I'm naturally skilled at my very bad British accent.
Okay, let's get through the play here. Some of these other things we're talking about. So, symbols. The train station is one. Did you ever watch Yellowstone on TV?
I haven't, but it's been recommended to me so many times.
You know what happens to people that go to the train station there, right?
No.
If someone in that show says, if the boss says, why don't you take him to the train station, that means he'll never be heard of again. He is completely wiped out.
Why?
Who knows? You know, it's a TV show. So I'm sure the train station here has some kind of different meaning.
Yes. No, nobody gets killed at the train station.
Okay.
In The Curious Incident, the train station, essentially, Christopher, through a bunch of realizations, figures out that he needs to leave his small town and he needs to go somewhere else.
Right.
And the train station is kind of symbolic of that journey, both because, like, he's never been on a train before. He's never had the experience of going out in the world on his own. And that's when he's experiencing those things. And if you've ever been in a train station or an airport, they are so overwhelming. And we see how that is hard for him. And we see what it means to be self-independent as an autistic person, and we get to see that represented through a train station.
Ah, okay. Yeah, that is quite a bit different.
Yeah. No one dies.
No one dies. No one can... Well, in the other one, no one ever comes back from the train station, like I said. Next week, we have Al Viguez, a jazz drummer, coming on the radio show. And I'm going to sneeze here, so you're going to have to say something.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday, Jillian. I know you're probably not listening to this, but one of our co-actors in our show, Jillian, is turning 16 today. And so if you happen to know who I'm talking about or see them, it is their birthday. Happy birthday.
Okay. Is she also part of the Acme?
Yeah. Jillian uses they/them pronouns, and yes, they are part of Acme.
Okay. And her name again?
Their name is Jillian.
Jillian, this one's for you. Oops. Let's try this again, Jillian.
They're really rocking in Boston and Pittsburgh, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas and round the Frisco Bay. All over St. Louis. Just got to have about a half a million, a famed autograph. Her wallet filled with pictures, she gets them one by one. Become so excited, watch her look at her run, boy. Oh, mommy, mommy, please may I go? It's such a sight to see, somebody steal the show. Cause they'll be rocking on bandstand in Philadelphia, PA. Deep in the heart of Texas, around the Frisco Bay.
Is your friend from Texas?
No, they're from Davis.
Okay. Well, that, of course, is Chuck Berry. Sweet Little 16. Okay, let's continue back with our little discussion about the Acme Theater. I guess all of the participants are Davis High School people?
Yeah, anyone in Yolo County and everyone is in 9th through 12th grade.
Okay, so it's other high schools also, not just Davis High.
Yeah, so I don't go to Davis High. I go to Davis School for Independent Study.
Okay, so people from Woodland? Winters?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, okay. And they all have to drive here then?
Yeah.
Every day?
Well, it depends
the
on their
parents. The parents, my God. Of course, turning 16, you can drive.
Yeah.
Do you drive?
I do not drive. I can't. I'm not legally allowed to.
Oh, okay. No driving for you.
Maybe one day, though.
Maybe. One day. Of course, yes. Davis High School. Well, you don't go to Davis High School. I was going to ask, how do they support the arts? Your school, how do they support the arts?
Well, so if we look at Acme, pretty much every single kid in Acme, minus like half of them, go to my school, which is a very like condensed population. It's a very small school. Davis School for Independent Study is... It's kind of...
Where's it located?
It's right across the street from Central Park. It's right by the downtown, right across from City Hall, the old City Hall.
Yeah, okay.
And it's so small and it's such a really condensed community that everyone supports everyone. So I've been to people's basketball games that I have one class with, and all of our teachers come to our shows, and it's a really lovely, connected community. And the way that we support the arts is... We support our students. We support our community. We have such a beautiful community.
How wonderful. How wonderful. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, I've had a lot of musicians on the show that have grown up through Davis High School, and they all say how wonderful a program it is. And
it is, yeah.
One of these days I'm going to have to get the musical director or whatever it is that runs that music program on and see what kind of stuff he puts in the water, because, you know, there's some incredible kids that come out of that. Absolutely. Okay. Acme Theater, the play that's coming on is The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime.
First and two weekends in January.
That's where I'm going. And where can they go again for looking into things?
If you want to learn more about our company, purchase tickets, get involved, join our email list.
There you go.
That's shameless self-promotion because I do the email list. You can visit acmetheatre.net, which is acmetheatre.net.
Okay, wonderful. Okay, we're slowly going down the list here. We have now we're up to the map of the neighborhood.
Yeah, so... Christopher, the main character in The Curious Incident, categorizes everything, whether that's good or bad or harmful or hurtful or things that he likes and things that he doesn't like. And part of the way that he categorizes the world is drawing visual representations of it. So he draws a map of his neighborhood. He draws a map of the train station. And it's just another way that he soothes himself and is able to understand the world around him that wasn't built for him.
Okay. We've got three more to go through, but now it's my turn to pick a song.
Now it's your turn to pick a song. What song are you picking,
well,
Peter?
Well, I am picking one. It's a playlist that my 17-year-old grandson sent me because he says I don't listen enough to the kind of music he listens to. So I'm going to play one of the songs he sent me, and I better not pick that one because it's way too long. I'll pick this one by the Cocteau Twins and Harold Budd, Sea Swallow Me, from the Moon and Melodies album.
Thank you.
See, Swallow Me from the Moon and Melodies album. All righty, Nico has something for us to say about a show coming up right after mine every Friday.
The Russ Tolman Good Time Hour invites you to sail the sonic seas near and far. Join Russ as he discovers and recovers pleasingly eclectic, genre-defying musical nuggets, new and old, fresh and classic, with only the smoothest of segues. Tune in Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. on KDRT 95.7 FM, Davis, California. For replays and more, visit kdrt.org.
Okay, well done. Boy, oh boy, I'm going to have to come in and do some radio spots for us here. We are talking about the play that's coming up that Acme is doing, and in that play there are several things that represent something else. And so I'm going to have Nico talk about A Letter from Mother. Now, who doesn't want to receive a letter from their mother, huh?
Christopher, apparently.
Oh, oh.
That one, you have to find out the answer to it by attending the show, if you are so inclined, because that is a spoiler. But if you do come to the show, keep your eyes up for the letter, because they're one of my favorite parts of the whole story, and they have so much beautiful symbolism that you will understand if you come to the show the first 2 weekends in January.
I like it. Boy, you put a hook in that. You're forcing us to go. I love it. Okay. What about Dark and Light, Night and Day?
Yeah, it's very interesting. So Christopher is me in a different font. And so I play Christopher in the show. And a lot of the themes around the show are him existing in either the daytime or the nighttime. And one thing really interesting that we see is that he's so much more himself at night. He's more full of life. He's excited because he sees the world as something he can be a part of. Like in the daytime, there's cars everywhere and so many sounds and things. And the world is just so much more attainable and graspable at night.
Right.
And we see that represented through the show. So it represents both the struggle of autistic people being in the world, but it's also just a cool way that we can play with lights and play with the stage and give the audience a little bit of that perspective into the world of Christopher's mind.
How many people do you expect to show up there?
1,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000.
I love the answer. Seriously, do you usually fill the house?
It depends. It also depends because we are an independent theater company, so other theater companies, they have one place where they have all their shows.
Yes,
and we move every show. So our winter show is at the Vets, but our spring show is outside of Davis Community Church, and our summer show is at the Wyatt. So it kind of depends on where we're housing our shows. Often yes, often no. Sometimes it depends on the mood, the weather, the people.
There's a place in Winters. It used to be an old church, and a lady bought it and converted it to, I don't know, just this beautiful, it's almost like a theater.
Mm-hmm.
You should look into that.
I should. That sounds very cool.
And the reason I can't tell you the name is because I don't remember it. So anyways, okay, where were we going here? We were talking about, before I rudely interrupted you, about whatever we were talking about. You know, we're running low on time here, so why don't you go through this whole thing again where people can find tickets, especially tickets now.
Okay.
All right?
So the first 2 weekends in January, January 3rd through 12th, Acme Theater Company is putting on The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Nighttime, which is based on best-selling British novel with the same title by Mark Haddon.
Okay.
The script was converted into a play script by Simon Stevens. And if you are interested in purchasing tickets, you can find them on our website, acmetheater.net, which is spelled ACMETHEATRE.net.
Lovely. Nico, you're going to be playing Christopher. How many lines did you have to memorize? A lot?
So the play is 75 pages long, and I think there are maybe six pages in the whole play that I don't have any lines on. So that's about 69 pages of lines.
So can you recite, let's say, the first time you go on stage?
Yes. My very first line in the whole
just
show
one line.
Is, "The dog is dead." That's my first line.
Well, I could do that. I want to hear something a little more.
You want to hear something a little more?
Yeah, that sort of gives you a glimpse into Christopher's personality.
Father and mother, but mother is dead, and also Uncle Terry, who is in Sunderland. He is my father's brother, and my grandparents too, except three of them are dead, and Grandma Burton is in a home because she has senile dementia and thinks I'm someone from television.
Nice. Boy, you have a nice projection there. Very good.
Thank you.
So, Sunderland is a town in England.
Sunderland, yes.
Sunderland, yes. Why would I know that?
You wouldn't?
No, I do know that.
Oh, I have no idea. Maybe you read the book and you forgot.
No. Do you know what is in Sunderland?
Sunderland, yes. What is in Sunderland?
The Stadium of Light.
Oh.
And it's the Sunderland football team. And I watch them once in a while.
That's a coincidence.
Soccer. So it's a working class town. I don't know about today, but traditionally it was. You know, those row houses and all of that in England. I guess the stage is set in something like that.
Yes. Well, the play is actually set in Swindon, which is where Christopher lives. His uncle lives in Sunderland.
Okay. Was the set difficult to create?
Ooh. I don't know how to say this without giving too much of the play away.
Okay.
Yes, but not for the reasons you would think.
Okay.
And if you want to know exactly why,
yeah,
it's a little bit difficult and a little bit super unique thanks to our amazing set designer,
really?
Robin. You should come see the show.
Okay. How many people are involved in set creating?
So our principal set designer is one person.
Right.
Their name is Robin. Absolutely incredible the way that their mind works. And then every weekend, we have set building over at the Art Center, which is where we rehearse. And it depends who shows up. Sometimes it's just Robin by themselves. Sometimes there's like 15 people.
Okay.
And then later in December, when the schools are on break, we will take everything that we've been working on and we'll move it into the theater and we'll set up more then. And usually we have 10, 15, 20 people helping
with
it.
What year are you in school?
I am a junior. I'm in 11th grade.
So you got one more year to go. College?
College.
You thinking about it?
Yeah.
Are you thinking about this career, doing something in the theater business?
You know, I would absolutely love to, something artistic. But I also, I just have so many passions. And, you know, like, I'm a very level-headed person most of the time.
Level-headed. It sounds like you're someone who lives in the right side of their brain. Artistic.
Yeah. But I think, I don't know how much of a feasible career it is. You know, the arts industry is so very hard to break into. I've been in a short film and I've had my stint with acting and it's just, we'll see. But if I don't do something artistic related, I would do neuropsychology and I'd become a clinical psychologist.
Neuropsychology.
Yeah.
Now I'm afraid to talk to you.
I'm analyzing everything you say.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of classes do you take in high school to get ready for that? Just general, I guess.
I've taken psychology classes. I think, honestly, the most helpful class for it has been writing. Because when you see what someone's written, you get an insight into their mind. Of course, actual psychology is helpful too. But since my school is so small, we don't really offer that type of classes. So I take a couple community college classes, but yeah.
Okay. I just finished writing my memoirs.
Ooh, I'll analyze them.
Okay, maybe when I'm gone.
Oh, gosh.
No, but I get very personal, what you know, in my memoirs. So it's kind of fun. The Light of Truth.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to you. Oh, The Light of Truth and The Stadium of Light. Huh?
Coincidence.
Is it a coincidence or is there a link?
I do not know. I would have to consult our dramaturgy team.
No, I'm sure it's a coincidence because that's a fairly new stadium. What is that all about?
So one core defining feature of Christopher is that he really does not enjoy telling lies. This is like a very textbook symptom of autism. And it's part of his personality and it kind of fuels the way that he sees the world. And so as he goes through the story, I'm trying to put this as vaguely as possible so there's no spoilers. He is kind of this light, and he illuminates what's going on around him and all of the secrets that his family is hiding, that his neighbors are hiding, that his parents are hiding.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
he is the light of truth.
He is the light of truth. Alrighty, Nico, I want to thank you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was an honor to be here.
I'm going to play a little bit in the background, the song that we're going to go out with. But anyways, I am so thrilled. I went to Farmer's Market to buy some things, and I ended up with a special guest on my show from the Acme Theater right here in Davis, California.
Well, I'm honored to be here, and I really hope you consider coming to see our show the first two weekends in January.
I will definitely come.
Yeah.
I will definitely come, and I'll encourage my friends to go with me.
Well, I can't wait to see you there.
Thank you so much for coming on. Thank all of your friends that were at the booth. Do you do that all the time? Weekly or not weekly?
Yep, you can catch us tomorrow at starting at like 7:30 in the morning.
Oh, no, not that early. Alrighty, thanks, Nico.
Thanks,
again,
Peter.
Acme Theater, acmetheartre.net. Look for the tickets, and it's available to everybody.
Yeah, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram and YouTube under the same name if you're interested.
Very good. We're going to go out with a song that my grandson picked. And this song goes back to my age, King Crimson, 21st Century Schizoid. Thanks again.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Bye.